Two dog-like creatures, one good, one evil. This is the story of El Cadejo. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. Antonio was out with the boys late at night, drinking and having a good time. The bar closed and they had no choice but to leave. They were walking in a group, heading home, when Antonio had to pee. His friends said, "We'll wait for you," but he told them, "No, I'll catch up later." Antonio's abuelita always warned him about being out late at night, especially by himself, but he was too drunk to remember this. Antonio was done and continued stumbling on, but his friends were nowhere to be seen. He heard noises behind him, but did not want to turn around. There was growling and the sound of hooves on the ground. He walked a little faster, but the noises did not stop. Antonio decided to turn around, and when he did, he saw a giant black dog, as big as a horse, with glowing red eyes. He turned his back on the creature and ran, afraid for his life. The creature did not like this and chased him down. He thought he was running faster than this thing, but as Antonio took another step, it was in front of him. Suddenly, Antonio was being attacked. He saw the giant dog standing on its hind legs. The creature kicked and hit him, but it never bit him. The attack continued, and Antonio thought, "Surely someone will pass by and save me," but no one came, and Antonio was beaten until he could no longer breathe.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, this is Christy. Oops. Oh, at the same time.
Okay, go.
Hi, this is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And this is Spooky Tales. I remembered our name this time.
That's great. Because I was about to forget right now.
Today, we are going to talk about El Cadejo. We're staying in Central America for now. I did want to add before you go into it, though. This was one of my favorites, I think. This has been my favorite so far. There was so much information out there about El Cadejo.
Mine too. I literally loved doing this research. It was one of the best ones so far. And he's probably my favorite new, like, cryptid paranormal creature, whatever you call it.
Same.
El Cadejo is a phantom dog of South America. El Cadejo is seen in various countries from El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Argentina, Belize, and many others. According to legend, there are two Cadejos, El Cadejo Blanco, the white Cadejo, which is the good one, El Cadejo Negro, the black Cadejo, which is the evil one. The Cadejo Negro is often depicted as dragging a chain. From what I have found on both El Cadejo Negro and El Cadejo Blanco, they both have red glowing eyes. They are described as huge dogs, bigger than anything that you would encounter in real life, making them noticeable and very out of place for those who have sightings of them. The Cadejo Blanco is said to be a protector spirit or guide for people who encounter it, guiding them to safety, usually to his or her home. After guiding them to safety, El Cadejo Blanco disappears. In some instances, it protects people from El Cadejo Negro. They are phantoms that appear at night to people, often drunk men, to protect them from pickpockets.
Oh, also, I read that there's two types of black ones, two bad ones. One is like this lesser strong black Cadejo that you can actually defeat by yourself. And another one is the reincarnation of the devil himself. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the white Cadejo protects not only from the black Cadejo, but from Nasi Guanaba. Keeps you safe from her.
The white Cadejo is also believed to be a guardian angel made into a dog or whatever. Like your guardian angel appearing to you in physical form.
There's a bunch of different stories on how the cadejo came to be. And also, it depends on where you are, which version you hear. Let's see. This one's not one of my favorites, but one legend tells that God sent the white cadejo to protect those that lived further away from towns, like people who lived in El Campo, when they were out in late hours of the night and they needed protection from entities like La Ciguanaba, like the black evil cadejo, or like the devil himself. This other one is one of the more well-known origin stories of El Cadejo. Still not my favorite one. You'll hear my favorite one. I'm going to point it out. It's going to be good. But this one's another really famous origin story about El Cadejo. There was a man named Juan Carlos. He was a guardian of a thatched house in the country fields near La Aurora in Guatemala. Juan Carlos worked further away from home and arrived super late to his house, usually around midnight. One day he arrived home and there was a white dog. When he saw the dog, he would go near it, but the dog would shake, turn around, and disappear. This dog would not let Juan Carlos near it. When Juan Carlos attempted to follow the white dog, he could never catch up to it. But one day, instead of running away from him, the dog was super still and he didn't move when Juan Carlos touched his paw. Out of nowhere, the dog opens his eyes and he's like, "You don't need my help anymore." And Juan Carlos is super scared. He's like, "Why is this dog talking to me? What the hell?" But he says, "What help?" And the dog replies, "In pain," which I don't know why the dog is in pain, but whatever. He says, "I'm a dog sent from above. My mission was to protect you from any danger, but you have shown me you don't need my help anymore." And then the dog closes his eyes. Juan Carlos buries him, and he remembers this white dog every time he comes home. So that origin story kind of shows how the white cadejo was sent from God. This one, however, this is my favorite cadejo origin story. One of my favorites. I found it in a book called Los Pájaros No Tienen Fronteras, The Birds Do Not Have Borders, which we mentioned in episode 2. It's a really good book. If you can read in Spanish, and I suck at reading Spanish, but this is like a fifth grade level, so it was easy. And so, yeah, if you know Spanish, get this book. It's so good. But this is where the story comes from. So there was a man, his name was Don Eladio. He was injured while working one day, but he wasn't injured to the point where he was unable to work. He just lost a few fingers from a hand and he just wasn't able to do his normal job. So he was demoted after his accident. 5 years go by and he's this darker, meaner, more sarcastic person who is also an alcoholic who also beats his wife. Don Eladio's son is Juan. Juan was super tired of his dad's behavior. Juan blames the alcoholism for the way his father is now. And he thought if he scared his dad, if he gives his dad un good susto, a really good fright, then he will change. He will go back to the way he was before. So Juan has spent years telling his dad, get home early, and his dad just never did. So he devised a plan surrounding his dad's late home arrivals. So he went to the butcher. He got the ugliest cowskin he could find. The cowskin was black and hairy. And when Juan put it on, he was completely hidden by it. He got on four legs. And aside from the hideous cowskin, he also got a pair of dog chains from the blacksmith. He took his new items and he hid them in the woods under some bushes and went back home. And then he woke up at midnight and he went to go to the spot where he left his hideous disguise. And he put it on and waited for his dad to pass by. A while later, his dad drunkenly stumbled by and Juan came out of his hiding spot. He was a monster, growling and chasing his father with chains rattling behind him. Don Eladio ran home, scared and drunk. Juan felt super accomplished. He took the disguise off and he hid it and he went back home. He took a shortcut so he could arrive before his dad and he pretended to be asleep. Don Eladio showed up and he was frantically knocking, crying. He swore to his wife, "Oh, I'm never going to drink again," because he was super scared from what he saw. So 2 weeks passed by. Don Eladio kept his word. He didn't drink. He even changed a little bit. He was nicer. He was being more helpful around the house. He didn't hit his wife, but in the end, he went back to drinking. But he said, I'm going to start off small. I'm not going to get super drunk. I'm not going to get homely. But it was like 3 days of this, and then he went back to his old ways. So Juan was like, you know what? It's time to scare him again. So he got ready to give his dad another susto, another fright. So there he was in his hiding spot, waiting for his dad to pass by. And then he got on all fours, chased him down, growling, chains rattling behind him. Don Eladio ran and ran, and he fell every time he was running. He just kept tripping on stuff, falling. He got home. He didn't cry. He didn't mention the thing he saw to his wife, nothing. He was all bruised up. He just rested one day, and then the next night he was back to drinking again. Juan was like, you know what? I need to do this again. So he put on his disguise and did the same thing. Waited for his father to pass by. He waited in the woods. So his dad, Don Eladio, passed by again, stumbling drunk. He chased him down. And this time, Don Eladio didn't run home. He ran into the woods, and then he got lost. The monster, Juan, did not run in to chase him into the woods. And Don Eladio slept in the woods. He missed a day of work, almost got fired. And then for 3 days, he went missing. Nobody knew where he was. And he came back Thursday night. He stayed up all night, and he had this look on his face like he was planning something. So he left for the tavern, and Juan figured, my dad needs one more fright, one more susto. This is the last one. And then he's going to be back to his old self. The alcoholism will be gone. So Juan waited in his normal spot, and this time he waited way longer than normal. He waited for 2 hours, and then he heard his father yelling, ¿Dónde estás? Where are you? And the monster came out. Instead of looking scared, Don Eladio charged with the stick he was holding, and he yelled, ¡Maldito animal! ¡Te voy a matar! ¡Damned animal! ¡I will kill you! Juan was super confused because his father was trying to kill him. He took off his horrible, ugly disguise, and he yelled to his dad, no, dad, it's me, it's me. It was only a joke. Don Eladio stopped swinging his stick, but he didn't look at peace. He didn't look like he felt sorry for Juan. There was no mercy in his eyes whatsoever, only hate. So Don Eladio, he didn't say much after Juan said, it's me, but he did say, por irrespetar a tu padre, en cuatro patas andarás. Estos caminos por noche recorrerás. For disrespecting your father, on four legs you will travel. And these roads by night, you will also travel. I didn't translate that very well, but whatever. Basically, he cursed him. He's going to travel on four legs, and he's going to travel these roads by night. Juan was cursed to become the very creature that he was pretending to be. Don Eladio continued walking, and he didn't turn back to look at his son, even when Juan was crying in pain and in agony. As he walked away, the hideous cow skin that was part of his disguise melted into Juan's skin, and this forced him onto four legs, and Juan became the Cadejo. After this night, Don Eladio left his wife, wandered the woods, yelling for his son's forgiveness. As for Juan, God took pity on him and allowed him to either protect or punish those who travel by night. He was a protector for some, and he punished with death others, those with a crooked heart. That's my favorite one.
I like that one.
Yeah, this one kind of covers those other beliefs that we're going to go into about El Cadejo, how you can't turn your back on him.
Yes. Where is the this one from, the origin?
Oh, that's from Costa Rica. This one is from El Salvador. I also like this one. There's two brothers, and they walked into the house of a black magician during a storm, and he asked the brothers to help him with some logs for a fire. The brothers laughed off. They didn't help the magician like they said they would, and on top of that, they ate his food. So they never completed the task that he asked for them to do. So when the black magician returns, he sees his food is gone and there is no wood for his fire. And he's like, what the hell did these two brothers do? They just stole my food. So then he puts a curse on the road that leads to the village where the brothers live. The brothers started hearing voices on their way home. And then I guess they weren't supposed to, but they turned their backs to these voices. And when they do that, one brother was turned into the white cadejo and the other brother was turned into the black cadejo. So then they return to their village in the form of these two dogs, but they get banished because they're like, we don't want these dogs here. And so now they have no choice but to wander the streets of El Salvador as the black and white cadejo.
Oh, I like that one too. That one's a lot more simplified though. Like it's like a short little story. That's cute.
Yeah, okay. The one from Costa Rica was pretty long.
Yeah, I know. Like that when I was like listening to someone else, because it wasn't exactly like that. The one I read was, or heard, I should say, that the farmer had a lazy son. And since he was so lazy, he ended up just saying, if you're going to be, you know, not useful, then be on all fours, which again goes back to the cursing.
Oh.
And it's also similar to the Mesoamerican shamanistic belief that it is a human that shapeshifts into this cadejo instead of just being like a creature,
like a dog creature, just
like
a
like it's actually a person that shapeshifts into this animal creature thing.
Yeah. You know what's hella messed up about the Costa Rican version? Like, his dad was a piece of shit, and instead he gets punished for it and he becomes a cadejo. That's messed up.
That is messed up. I'm sorry, but like, his dad got away scot-free for his shitty personality, shitty behavior.
Like, he should have been a cadejo, honestly. Not Juan.
Where was the Guanaba when we needed her, honestly?
Right?
Where
yeah. Are you?
This is like literally the kind of men she goes out for, and she's nowhere to be seen.
She let us down.
Yeah, I know.
And one thing that was super fun about the research in El Cadejo is that there's so many stories where he was seen.
Mm-hmm.
La Ciguanaba and El Cipitillo, it was like hard to find any sightings, but El Cadejo, I found a bunch of sightings.
And it's like once you start researching El Cadejo, you go into this rabbit hole of information that is, it feels like it's never ending. We found one page after another, one story after another. And not just that, but there's so many connections to other things or other cultures that also have very similar beliefs in a creature like this.
Yeah. But let's go into some sightings here. So the cadejo has been seen in the countries we mentioned and Texas as well. And there's another description from the British Isles, apparently. This guy named Samuel Drew, he described seeing an animal. He heard noises like hoofs. I can't say that word. Hoofs.
Hooves.
Hooves. Whatever. Hooves. Okay. So he describes hearing hooves and seeing an animal that either looked like a bear or a giant dog with glowing eyes. And this was in 1780 in the British Isles. In 1949, I forgot where this story was already. I didn't write it down. I think the story was in one of the central, I think it was Guatemala, to be honest. But I could be wrong, so don't hold me to that. But in 1949, a young man was walking late at night, and he noticed a small black dog. The black dog was following him, and this dog would only stare and stare when he tried to shoo it away. It wasn't scared of him at all. Like, you know, some dogs, you kick them and they leave. Or you, like, pretend to step.
Or, like, you even come close to them and they start, like, backing away.
Yeah, well, this dog did not back away. The black dog continued following. And every time he turned away and turned to look back at the dog was bigger in size. And then, like, it just kept growing. So he got super scared. He drew his revolver, aimed it, and fired at the dog. The bullet left his revolver in slow motion, and then it fell, and it was intact at the man's feet. When he looked up, the dog was the size of a horse. He fired his revolver again, but the same thing happened. It went in slow motion, and the bullet, full intact, fell by his feet. And so he yelled, "Hail Mary, most pure." And after that, the dog disappeared.
That is scary.
Yeah.
This is going to be like, I don't know, leave it in here or not. But this could also be part of another episode. And it goes into the Navajo similarities, but they're in, remember I sent you the link about the Skinwalker Ranch?
Yes.
You know what, the family who bought that ranch back, I think it was in the 80s or 70s, but when they first bought it, on the first day that they moved in, and they were like, they were cattle ranchers, so they had, you know, herds of cattle that they would sell and stuff. And the first day there, they saw this gigantic wolf, like the size of a horse, almost exactly what you're describing right now. They shot at it and it did nothing. And then like, it was like the bullets weren't doing anything.
Yeah, because you can't kill a gadejo. That's crazy. Another one in Nicaragua in the 1930s or 40s, there was a young boy and he accompanied his great grandmother to work. First of all, I would want to be retired if I was a great grandma, but whatever. She probably has to work, honestly. So he goes with her so she doesn't have to go to work alone. So as he's leaving his grandmother's workplace, he opens the door and there was this black dog with red eyes. He ran home terrified, and the entire time the dog was at his heels chasing him. He gets home and he slams his door and the dog is there scratching at the foot of the door for several minutes. Once he heard it leaving, he cracks the door open just to see if it's really gone. And he never walked alone anywhere after that. And he didn't see the gadejo again, probably because he never walked alone again.
Oh, I don't like that. I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
I love these things, but I also like, there's too many sightings to ignore. And yeah, that is scary.
Another sighting, a man named Jose was frequently out late drinking. One of these nights he passed out beneath a tree. When he woke up, he had a terrible hangover, and then he saw this goat-hoofed, shaggy black dog. The dog licked his mouth, and then Jose got up and staggered home. The black dog was following. And then on the way home, some men attempted to rob Jose, and the dog protected him. So he arrived home safe and sound, and this continued for 9 nights. The dog would follow, protect him from people trying to steal some from him. But on the 9th night, he passed away. And it's probably because of alcoholism, right? But Jose's family members believe that the gadejo caused his death when he licked Jose's mouth.
So they do say the gadejo is an omen of death.
Yes. Yeah. If you see so him,
it's maybe it was news. Like, hey, it's almost your turn. It's like he's like almost like a grim reaper or working for him.
And like, this reminds me of Harry Potter, because when he looks at his little teething and there's a black dog, the teacher's like, Professor what? Trelawney? However you say her name. She's like, you're going to die, Harry, because this is a bad omen.
Oh, yeah, because he has the what? The Grim? That's what they call it? Yeah, the Grim.
The Gadejo's in that cup.
They just called it the Grim, but yeah, his real name was the Gadejo. That is true. I never, like, I didn't even make that connection. Right on. All right. Thank you.
If you remember, in the beginning of my sighting, the first one was from the British Isles in 1780. Mm-hmm. So I think that they have a big black dog that scares them too.
There was like this whole thing about it being in Scotland, Ireland, and just all around the UK. But it feels like this thing is like seen everywhere. It could like teleport.
It probably can. We just have different names for it all over the world, but it's the same thing.
Again, weird that so many like these different cultures have the same thing, the same beliefs in some way.
I have a more recent sighting in Guatemala in 1975. There was a 19-year-old Maya girl and her sister. They were sent on an errand by her mother after nightfall. I wouldn't be sending them on errands, but
I don't even send my kids during the day.
I know, different times. We would get sent to the corner store during the day though.
Oh, yeah, now, they sent to the corner store to get cigarettes.
Yeah.
You can't even do that.
Yeah. So when the girls came to the crossroads, there was a black dog, something like a black dog, with burning eyes, and it would not let them pass. The girls were terrified, and they decided to walk backwards to go back home. So they didn't turn their backs on this dog, because they heard stories, right? They're... Mm-hmm. familiar a little bit. So they never turned their backs on the creature. But at some point, the 19-year-old girl fell over. And when she got up, the dog was gone. It had turned into a white mass that walked next to them the whole time. And then she doesn't remember what happened in between this and getting home. When she got back home, she was just back to her senses.
She has like missing time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of paranormal stories where they encounter some creatures have missing time. It's weird.
Yeah. That's
scary.
And my last sighting, it's even newer. If you're Latino, Latina, Latinx, however you want to identify, Spanish speaking, then you grew up watching Al Rojo Vivo, right? This news station and on Telemundo. I was watching YouTube clips, and there's a story from Al Rojo Vivo in 2016. The residents from this city called Mexicanos in El Salvador were claiming to hear hooves like a horse. And they kept hearing howling. There was a security guard or police officer is what his uniform looks like in the news clip. But he says that he saw a dog the size of a deer with red eyes. And then there was another guy with a cell phone, and he had a recording of the howling. And the residents in the city, Mexicanos, or the pueblo, claim that there's a malevolent brujo, black magician, that's who the Cadejo is visiting, and that's why they keep hearing him. And he watches these clips, and they're all super scared and praying. I'm going to include the link to this news clip in the show notes. But that was like 4 years ago, so.
And again, we go back to the other story you read where it was the dog that was a horse size, remember?
Yes. Yeah, they say deer's like here.
Yeah.
But all these stories mesh together, black magicians, black dogs. So,
omens of death, all this stuff. This is from truehorrorstoriesoftexas.com, and it was posted on February 6, 2017, and it's titled The Floating Cadejo. An uncle of mine told me this story years ago. He claimed that this happened in the late 70s in McAllen, Texas, near the location of where the current McAllen Medical Center Hospital stands. Back then, the place was mostly fields, with not many businesses around. My uncle was not the type of person to experiment with drugs or psychedelics, even in the 70s, which is why I believe him when he relayed the story to me. That, along with a genuine fear and concern in his voice when I heard him tell the story, is why I believe him. So one late evening, he's walking along a cornfield while attempting to hitchhike back to Donna, Texas, from a dance he previously attended near Mission, Texas. He had already hiked several miles and wound up near the location of this incident. As he was walking along the field, he sees a huge black dog hovering above the cornfield, keeping pace with him. One thing that always sticks out for me was the way he would describe the creature's eyes. Two huge burning red eyes, the size of large grapefruits. Still hoping for a car to pick him up, he notices the creature gazing at him, decides to walk faster, but unfortunately, so does the creature. At this point, he starts to full-on sprint, and the thing continues to keep pace with him, all while floating creepily at least a foot above the cornfield. At this point, he is absolutely terrified and convinced this thing is going to try to harm him. Luckily for him, a car pulls over in the nick of time and offers him a ride home. After doing some research, he may have witnessed what many people have described as El Cadejo. And that is the sighting in Texas.
What year was that?
It was in the 70s. It doesn't specify. Oh. It was posted in 2017, but it happened in the late 70s in McAllen, Texas.
I have a cousin who lives there or lived there.
Texas is like one of those places that they're going to get creatures from South America.
Texas has
so many stories of these creatures, of Latin American creatures. Yeah,
that's creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy. Like, they get everything. I feel like Texas is also like this one place that, for whatever reason, there's a lot of sighting of like weird creatures, like paranormal type stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you know, one thing I noticed with El Cadejo, obviously in the Central American folklore of it, he's in the countryside too.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stories have him at crossroads or bridges. Like, he won't let people pass bridges or cross roads, like those two girls.
I just
girls.
Noticed that. That's weird. Yeah. He's like almost like this, what is it called? The troll under the bridge. You know how you have to, like, pass through him in order to get where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
In Mesoamerican shamanistic beliefs, they believe that it is a brujo that turns into el cadejo. And this is very similar to the Navajo belief in skinwalkers. Another word for skinwalkers is the Wendigo. And the Navajo believes that skinwalkers are evil shamans that, you know, they do this ritual, they kill like a family member, and then they get these powers to turn into animals. So very similar to the Mesoamerican beliefs of some indigenous cultures that it is in fact a human, again, shape-shifting into an animal.
Yeah, because so many of the story, like three of the origin stories I mentioned, involve a human being cursed into El Cadejo.
Yeah.
Plus, we did mention this, right? That the Cadejo originally, like, it stemmed from the Maya Quiche.
I don't think people. We did.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think we did.
Yeah,
so we're all over the place.
we're gonna go back a little bit here. Just bear with us. We're still learning how to flow the podcast.
Yeah, know? And today has also been has been a day. I'm pretty sure Christina's gonna edit this out, but my kids interrupted twice. So we're all over.
Yeah,
it's been a day. We've been all over the place. So please, sorry, and bear with us. We're trying
our best. But to go back to the Cadejo, it's a mix of indigenous and Spanish, just like all these other stories. It's meshed together. But in the beginning, the Cadejo was not a Cadejo. It stems from the belief of a Nahual, which is, I believe it's Maya Quiche. I don't know if the Aztecs had, they probably had something similar. But a Nahual is like a spirit animal, an animal that was there with you, guiding you. And then when you died, a dog helped you get to the afterlife.
Underworld, afterlife.
Wherever you go at when you
after
die,
you this, die
a
yeah.
dog helped you get there. And it was believed that some people had the ability to have a even deeper connection with their Nahual, and they were able to become the Nahual. And so from this is what the shaman or whatever the shaman equivalent in the Maya Quiche, I forgot the name, but this shaman brujo could turn into their Nahual because they had a stronger connection, but they weren't inherently bad. They were, this person had a stronger connection with it. And so he or she could become their Nahual. And when the Spanish, thanks Spanish people, when the Spanish arrived, they introduced the idea of evil, but the Cadejo originally a Nahual, it was not a bad evil
Yeah, it
creature.
Wasn't a bad, it was the introduction of Christianity where there was actually, it turned into two Cadejos. And, you know, it, again, the European influence that good versus evil, but originally it was just a Cadejo, just like a spirit or something, but nothing to do with the devil, nothing to do with any of that. It wasn't until Spanish influence that El Cadejo, the Black Cadejo specifically, is pretty much viewed as the devil himself,
right,
in some instances, but that's again because of the Spanish influence.
Yeah. How to protect yourself from the Cadejo. Basically, you can't. If you encounter it, you're fucked. Unless the white Cadejo is like roaming by and he's like, oh, I gotta save you. And then a fight ensues between the two. And it's like this crazy ass fight that ends in, I want to say I read somewhere else. Also, don't quote me on this because I might just be making shit up. But their fights are so intense. To the death of one or the other, right? But they're so intense that they cause natural disasters. So like hurricanes, floods. But I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. But if not, it's a thing now.
It's a thing now. And it should be a thing, actually. That makes the story so much more fantastical and amazing.
But in some stories, you can walk. If you encounter the Cadejo, do not walk with your feet open. Because if you walk with your feet open, he'll sweep through your legs and steal your soul. And then, you know, you're dead after that. Also, in some instances, some of these stories, praying seems to help. But I think the most important thing that you can do to not encounter a carejo is to just not be out late at night, you know? Oh, and more thing, never talk to the carejo, because if you speak to this to the carejo, you will go insane.
It gets scarier. Like, we're going, like, I love this creature, but the sightings, I mean, I'm open-minded to this. I don't want to experience
so many of them.
I don't want to, let me put that out there into the universe. I do not want to experience seeing this in real life. I will totally take, though, like, you know, my neighbor seeing it and him telling, or him or her telling me the story. But as for me, it's a no.
Right? Yeah.
Just putting that into the universe because I don't want to jinx myself.
Yeah, I'm not trying to see the medical either.
Again, this is for the next episode. But in Navajo culture and, you know, like this shamanistic culture, is that if you even think about the skinwalker or the skinwalker Wendigo, whatever you want to call it, that it like could smell your thoughts, not smell, but like hear.
Oh my god! So like if you
think about it, it knows you're thinking about it. And
should we even cover them? I know, I'm scared now.
And I was like, oh well, I'm like, yeah, but what if like this is also part like. I couldn't find that much information on the shamanistic beliefs of El Cadejo, just that they do believe that it's a person that shapeshifts into a human. But I couldn't go into like how it's done, what is the legend behind it. I feel like because maybe there's probably a language barrier between Mayan and Spanish and then translating into English. You know, you have to go through like two languages or, you know, because I can read Spanish, but I don't know how to look for these materials or these stories.
As far as I could tell, for the Maya and the Maya Quiche, the people turning into their Nahual, there was never anything bad with it.
Yeah.
So the carejo that we see now was not a thing for them.
I wonder if it's like some person who's just evil and then made it evil or created an evil one. Like, you know, maybe it was always like good, good, good. And then you just have this
good. And then the Spanish brought the evil one with them.
Yeah. You never know because they already had stories.
That has to be it. Because in Europe, there is legends of a black shaggy dog. Like I mentioned, Harry Potter.
Maybe they brought it over. Maybe there was like some kind of like, you know, like.
I did want to mention this because we're talking about the Spanish right now. After the Spanish arrived, they had a big black dog, not exactly a mastiff, like a relative of the mastiff, right? Mm-hmm. And this dog was wiping out indigenous dogs, and so from this the indigenous people were seeing this happen, and I think that black dog meshed into El Cadejo because it came with the Spanish, but it wasn't a thing here, so mm-hmm. I think it also rooted in that black dog that the Spanish Yeah, and this dog, it was the cause of, like, it made other indigenous dogs extinct. Like, the Taino people had this tiny little dog, and that dog just destroyed that poor little dog. Indigenous communities, they love their dogs.
Oh, yeah, it's a big part of, you know, you have the Xolo dog in Mexico, which I'm pretty sure it's in other countries, but it's, like, a huge thing. The Xolo dog is considered a spiritual animal.
Yeah, that's the dog that walked you into the afterlife.
Into the afterlife, yes. And it's also the Xolo dog. I don't know how to say the full name. I just say Xolo.
Yeah, the whole name is like super hard.
But he has the connection to the Aztec god of death. But the Xolo Escuincle dog is like has a really strong spiritual connection to the Aztec god of death, Mictlantecuhtli.
Oh my god, amazing.
There we go.
You do not cease to amaze me with these.
Thank you. I'm pretty, we're saying it's amazing, but someone who's actually listening is like, that's, you said it so wrong.
I know, right?
We're like, this is amazing. And I'm like, yes, thank you. And then an actual speaker of the Nahuatl language is probably like, these losers can't even get it right.
I know I can't. I don't even try.
I practice these words, but I'm pretty sure I either say them with a Spanish accent or with an English accent.
But I feel like that was...
I think that's all.
Most of El Cadejo that we can or want to fit in this short episode.
Yeah.
Because I don't have
a short episode. It's going to be like 3 hours
long. I know, right?
So many things happen during the recording. Yeah.
If you made it through this, thank you so much, because we jumped around quite a bit. But we just want to make sure you guys have all the information out there about El Cadejo. And there's always more. We just did like tip of the iceberg too.
Mm-hmm. There's like I keep on saying, it's a rabbit hole. Once you start looking into this story, this legend, it's information after information after information, and it feels like it's never ending. And
yeah,
it's great. And so it's my favorite, because there's so much to it. There's so many sightings.
Yeah,
there's so much history.
We're just, 3 episodes in, but this has been my favorite so far.
Mm-hmm. And plus I'm a dog person, so there's probably have to do with that.
I'm gonna see a Cadejo and want to pet it.
That would be my kids. They'll be like, oh, it's a little dog. It's the cutest thing. And it was like snarling and drooling with the foaming. It's
the size of a horse.
Yeah. And then my kids would be like, it's so tiny. I'm like, you're crazy. That's how my daughter would.
Look at the puppy. This
mean dog when I used to walk my kids to school. And it would be like barking and all this stuff. And like, you know, just being mean. And then my daughter's like, oh, it's so cute. I love it. I was like, excuse you?
Let's go pet the Cadejo. Maybe the Cadejo just needs some love, honestly.
Maybe.
Next episode, we're going to leave the Central America region, I'm pretty sure. Because I'm pretty sure Y Chivo is a Aztec.
Hi, this is editing Christina. I made a little mistake here. The Y Chivo is not an Aztec beast. It is a Maya beast. All right, back to the episode.
Cryptid creature. So we're going to go into like the Mexico area.
North America.
Mm-hmm.
Northern. It's like, is it Northern? Is Mexico Northern America? North America?
Yeah.
It is.
It is in North America. Yeah. So that's our topic for the next one. I'm excited. I know nothing about it. I was scrolling through Instagram and then this video popped up that was like 3 creatures, legendary creatures from Aztec mythology you should know. And I was like, oh, yes.
That's great. I can't wait. I never heard of it. So
Yeah. Everything
that we will speak on next week will be stuff that's new to me too.
Yeah.
I love that. We have found, I can't even, like, what is up with today, man? I have found so many creatures and stories and legends that I have never heard so far. And we're just making a list, by the way, but
it's a long list.
It keeps on, like, you know, a new creature almost every week, one or two, you know, it's ridiculous.
Oh, and this brings me to, if anyone has any scary encounters, creepy stories that they want to send us that either we read just that in an episode or we do a whole episode about it. I don't know. Just email us or DM us. Our email's spookytales@gmail.com or DM us on our socials, which they're all linked in the notes.
Yeah. And if you have like a creature that you really love and you want us to do an episode, we could like search for stories and sightings for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know. Thanks for listening. Rate and review us if you can on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about us. Don't be out late at night so that you won't see the Cadejo. But if you do, hope that the white Cadejo showed up.
And it was nice meeting you and knowing you.
Yeah, you're gone. Nice
knowing you.
You're a goner.
You're a goner.
We'll catch everyone next week. Bye.
Bye.